From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. A jury has been picked for the Chad Daybell murder trial. The pool of 50 people was whittled down to 12 jurors and 6 alternates who will sit through the apparently 2-month death penalty trial for the man accused of killing his wife, Tammy, as well as 7-year-old Joshua J.J. Vallo and 16-year-old Tylee Ryan. Now that sets the stage for opening arguments, which will begin tomorrow morning. So here for an update is Nate Eaton, news director at eastidahonews.com. Nate, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Nate, can we start by you telling us about what happened on Monday? Because 50 people walked into that courtroom as potential jurors. Yeah. Then what happened?
Right. This was the final pool of jurors. So all last week, Judge Boyce had groups of 16 Ada County residents brought in. They were questioned. If they, you know, had strong opinions on the case or they couldn't get out of work or whatnot, they were dismissed. So out of all of those groups, it was whittled down to 50. And then the defense and the prosecutors each got 16 peremptory strikes where they could just eliminate whoever they wanted. And that pool, you know, gradually narrowed down to 18 who are the final jurors. As you mentioned, there's 12 jurors, 6 alternates. They don't know who's who. And in Lori Vallo's case, they didn't know until it was time to deliberate. I imagine that'll be the same here. So they will sit through this trial, assuming that they will be the one deliberating on the sentence or the guilty, not guilty verdict.
Right. And as I mentioned in the beginning of this, they're looking at this potentially being a 2-month trial. That is a big commitment for folks. So with that said, Nate, a lot of folks were eliminated from the jury pool. What would you say was the most common reason? Because you mentioned, you know, work or having strong opinions, but did anything else stand out to you as one of the most common reasons?
I would think that the themes we heard the most were they either had formed an opinion about the case, about his guilt or innocence, and that they had seen media coverage on it. Also, the fact that many jobs don't provide paid jury service. They might for a week or two, maybe even a month, but for 2 months, there were several people that said, I will not be able to pay my mortgage. I will be homeless if I have to serve on this jury. And then there were other people that had really strong opinions on the death penalty. They were adamantly opposed to it no matter what. And of course, this is a death penalty case, so they can't be on that jury. And there were others that just, you know, had young children at home or some had, you know, weddings, graduations coming up. It's longer. This trial is longer because it is a death penalty case versus Lori Vallo's, which was not death penalty. So a lot more goes into this trial.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nate, you mentioned media coverage, right? If folks had seen anything in the media on this, I would be stunned then if of these jurors, the 12 and the 6 alternates, that every single one of them hasn't seen any media coverage? Or is it that maybe you've seen some coverage, but you just don't have necessarily a strong opinion one way or the other about it?
Yeah, what you just said, the second options, you know, some of these people say they maybe saw headlines on Facebook, but they didn't click on it, or they heard about it when it first broke. These are not the people that did a deep dive and watched all 10 hours of Dateline and the Netflix and know every update. These are people that say, yeah, they would be asked about that. Okay, you've said you've seen media coverage. How much? Where did you consume it? What do you remember? And many of them were saying, I saw this or I saw that. Some flat out said they had never heard of the case, which is, you know, kind of hard to believe, especially being in Ada County with the trial last year. But they said they don't follow the news. They aren't aware of it. They live their daily lives. And some of those people made it to the final pool.
Hey, look, my sister lives in Oregon, but she was here recently and had never heard of it because she doesn't watch the news. So there you go. There are people out there like that.
I was in a grocery store in Rexburg where these alleged crimes happen. And a woman came up to me and had no clue. Her friend was with her and was talking about the case, and she had no idea. So it is true. You know, many of us watch the news, we're up to date, but some people don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so with that said, what do we know about who's on the jury, Nate? How many men, how many women? Of course, I mean, we don't know names, anything about that. I mean, you do, there are things about protecting identity of jurors, but what do we know about these folks? Well,
there's 10 men, 8 women, which is exactly the same as Lori Vallow's trial. So same makeup as far as gender. And it's a mix. We have some young men on there. We have some older men. We have professionals. We have stay-at-home moms. We have just a wide variety of people who they have to live in Ada County. And they all filled out a really in-depth questionnaire, like multiple pages, a questionnaire, getting their thoughts on everything from, should everyone convicted of murder get the death penalty? And all of these people said no to that. To, you know, do you follow the news? What type of media do you consume? They filled out these in-depth forms and sent them in, and they were called back. And so the jury makeup, it will be interesting. Most of these people, well, all of them did say that it would not create a financial hardship for them to be here. What's interesting to me as I looked at the final numbers is the very first juror picked was actually in the very first group on the very first day, which it's rare that you have the very first person from that first group advance all the way, but she is on it. Also, another juror is one who did not show up when he was supposed to. He overslept.
He
came in the next day and apologized and said his phone had died and he had a good reason and the judge didn't fine him or anything. Well, he's on the pool. So, you know, kind of a mix of who the prosecutors want and who the defense wants.
Okay, so with that said, then so tomorrow is the beginning of, I mean, the actual opening statements in the trial. So is this what happens next? I'm assuming the judge kind of gave everybody a day to kind of pause and breathe, I would assume, with jurors, kind of get everything in order before you have to really make this potential 2-month commitment.
Yeah, it's go time tomorrow. And the jurors will show up. They will be sworn in. They'll be giving new numbers. And then right away, opening statements. And on opening statements, the very first words in Lori Vallow's trial that came out of the prosecutor's mouth were money, power, sex. This is what this trial is about. And I imagine they'll probably go down that same road this time around. There are some changes in the fact that last time the Madison County prosecutor led the case, this time it's the Fremont County prosecutor, but they're still working together. And they'll give their opening statement. And then John Pryor, Chad Daybell's defense attorney, he'll give his, and they will start right away with witnesses. We went through 59 witnesses in Vallow's trial. I imagine there'll be more in this trial. And the defense will actually likely present a case here. In Vallow's trial, that did not happen. They simply said that they felt that the state did not prove their case, and that was it. So there will be a lot of similarities. A lot of people will say, well, we already knew that, or they talked about that last year. But there will also be differences because this is a new case, a new defendant, new attorneys, new everything.
So, Nate, after the jury was picked, I know you got a chance to talk with Larry Woodcook. For folks who aren't familiar with him, can you tell us who he is? But also, how was he feeling? How was his mood after this?
He's JJ's grandpa, and he and Kay Woodcock, the JJ's grandparents, they kind of started this whole thing off by reporting that they couldn't get in touch with their grandson. And they were at every day of Lori Vallow's trial. Now, they knew Lori. Lori was married to Kay's brother, so they knew her for years and years, and that trial was far more personal to them. Plus, it was the first time around. This trial, the Woodcocks seem like a weight is lifted. I mean, Larry said that they've been through one before. It was the one that they knew. They didn't ever meet Chad Daybell, so they planned to be there every day this time around, but they seemed as if, you know, everything was a bit lighter. That being said, the Daybell family, as far as like Tammy Daybell's siblings, for them, this one's going to be far more personal because they knew Chad and he was married to their sister. And so they're kind of vice versa. What Larry and Kay went through the first time around, it's kind of switched positions. And they plan to come to a few days. And I believe that Tammy's sister, at least one of them, will be called to testify.
Well, Tammy and Chad have adult children, correct? I mean... have we heard anything from them if they will be here? I cannot imagine what they have been going through, having lost their mom and now, you know, finding out potentially how they actually lost her. And now their dad, sitting on trial for his life.
Yeah, they have five children who did an interview on a national program about 2 years ago now, and they stood firmly behind their father. They defended him. They said that he was set up, even though they know that their mother died of asphyxiation. I don't know their thoughts today. They have not been in court at all. And in fact, prior, Daybell's attorney said in one of the hearings that when asking for the camera to be live streamed, the court to be live streamed because so that they could watch. So I don't predict that we'll see them unless they are called as witnesses, which they very well could be, especially in the penalty phase of this case to, testify on behalf of their father. So you just feel for them. They lost their mom and now this is going through it. And this has been a long ordeal, Gemma. We were talking about this in early 2020 and here we are in April of 2024 and we still don't have a verdict. So it's I imagine too there'll be some relief when it's all done for them.
So, Nate, you make a good point that this was 4 years ago when this came to our attention because you were the first reporter, I believe, to report any of this. And I'm talking any reporter anywhere in the world. You not only have been on top of this since the beginning, you have been following, every day of this trial, every day of Lori Vallow's trial. I mean, how are you doing? And I ask that question because I think a lot of times people forget that as journalists, we are still human beings. These are emotional tolls on those of you who cover this in the way that you have been.
Yeah, it's true, especially, I have children who are JJ's age and you go home and see them every night and you sit through and see those autopsy photos and you see the emotional testimonies and hear the phone calls. So, I just try to present as fair as I can and report what we hear. There is a huge interest in this case, especially for those of us that live in Eastern Idaho, but really all over Idaho and all over the world, as you mentioned. I think it's time, I admire the reporters that follow cases for years and years and years and years and wait for them to happen. The crazy thing is, though, Gemma, even when this one ends, hopefully by the beginning of summer, you still have Lori Vallow in Arizona waiting those charges. So it won't be 100% done, but at least, it will be some steps along the way. And then you have the whole question of if he is sentenced to death. You wait for the execution to happen and all of those appeals and everything. So it is a major step in a tragic story that's had so many twists and turns.
And you do a video recap of the trial every day, Nate. It's called The Courtroom Insider. What's the reaction been to that? And I'm assuming you're going to continue doing that throughout this trial.
Right. Yeah, I started that with Lori Vallow's because cameras weren't allowed in the courtroom and so many people were interested in kind of a play-by-play of what happened that day. So I am just sitting in my hotel room with a little camera and a mic and a laptop and people all over the world are watching. And so I'll be doing it again during Chad's trial, even though there are cameras. It's basically for those of you that don't really want to get knee deep and watch every second of the testimony and just kind of want the highlights or the key points. That's what it's for. Just a 30-minute recap of here's what happened, and then I'll take viewer questions if you have any. And the response has been well, and it also gives me a chance to kind of digest at the end of the day what were the most important key points.
Well, as always, Nate, we so appreciate all of the reporting that you have done in this case and bringing this to the attention of our of our community and our broader community as well. So really appreciate it. And of course, I know we'll be checking back in with you throughout the next 2 months of this trial. So thanks again.
Thank you, Gemma.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Nate Eaton. He's the news director at EastIdahoNews.com, talking about the Chad Daybell trial, which is in Boise. Opening statements are set to begin tomorrow morning at the Ada County Courthouse. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.